This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Reader comments and news portals are back in the headlines. Malaysia Kini and Stephen Gunn, its editor-in-chief, are being hauled to court by Attorney General Tan Sri Idris Harun, and they're being cited for contempt of court over five readers' comments on an article that was posted on June 9th. So the story is titled, CJ orders all courts to be fully operational from July 1st. And the article really reflects the headline. It's about the update that all courts will be in full service starting next month. So the article itself is not what we're talking about. Instead, we need to focus on the comments that came under it. And I'm not going to read it out for obvious reasons. If you'd like, you can still find them. They're still there. But on to the basis of all this, the AG was represented by Alice Look, who is a senior federal counsel. And she cited section 114A of the Evidence Act 1950 and said that Malaysia Kini was responsible for facilitating the comments. And that particular section, 114A, was very controversial back in 2012 when it was first introduced, because essentially what it does is it holds many platform providers accountable for what their users do. So if a comment that's deemed inflammatory, for example, is posted on a blog by a reader, there's a chance that the authorities will penalize the blog owner instead of the commenter. And that, I think, is pretty much where we find ourselves with Malaysia Kini. You can just replace blog with news portal, and there we are. So to Malaysia Kini, this is their first time in 20 years where they're being cited for contempt of court. Case management has been set for June 25th, and the next hearing will be on July 2nd. Ironically enough, because the article itself says that courts are going to be back on July 1st. But anyway, so Section 114A is, I think, an interesting one. You know, it applies in other circumstances as well. For example, you know, if you're an account holder of a network service provider. So if you have an account with Unify at home, you share that with five people who live with you. If someone of that five posts something offensive, then you are categorized as a publisher, even if you weren't the person who posted it. And I think that's similar to what we've been seeing all this while in conversations surrounding comments on news portals, right? The idea here is that you have provided this platform, you are facilitating these comments to be had. So we're going to be diving into this after with Fong Cheng Leong, who is a lawyer and chairperson of the KL Bar Information Technology Committee. But this also had me thinking in general about the role of comments, because if you've been on Malaysia Kini, it has quite a robust comment section. And I'm somebody who tends to read comments. I like to know what people are saying. I'm interested in the temperature of the room, in what is really getting people's goat, I guess. But I also know that there are many people who consider comments nothing but noise and don't engage with it at all. So the question here is, do you read or leave comments on news portals? Is this an important thing you think to have comments for you to be able to weigh in or for you to read what others are saying? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and of course tweet us at BFM Radio. We also have a Twitter poll running at the moment, which asks that exact question, whether or not you read or leave comments on news portals. And right now, 55.4% say no, they prefer to keep private. 26.8% say yes if I feel strongly, while 10% do say no in case of legal action. So if you'd like to weigh in there, you can as well. And we're going to be back with Fong Cheng Leong right after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:47 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking today about reader comments and news portals in light of the fact that Malaysia Kini are being cited for contempt of court over five readers' comments on an article that was posted very recently, just a week or so ago. And in light of that, the question I have for you guys today is whether or not you are someone who actually reads or leaves comments. Is the comment section of a site something that you enjoy or something that you think is important to have? If you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. But talking to us about the legality and the ins and outs of this is Feng Cheng Leong, lawyer and co-chair of the Bar Council IP Committee. Cheng Leong, thank you for speaking with us. Let's begin with a walkthrough of what's being brought against Malaysia Kini and its chief editor, Stephen Gunn.
Based on the online reports, it seems that Malaysia Kini and its editor has been cited for contempt for certain unsavoury offending comments made against the judiciary on Malaysia Kini. The federal court has granted leave to the AG Chambers to commence contempt proceedings against Malaysia Kini and chief editor. This is merely the beginning, seeking for permission. In other words, it's permission to cite them for contempt. The court have not conclusively make a case that they have committed contempt.
So can you help us understand then how and why a media portal assumes responsibility for the comment section?
The law in Malaysia seems to be still developing in respect of intermediary liability. Well, for defamation, the publisher of the comments would be liable for defamation. So this is even applicable in Facebook pages, where the High Court had actually said that the Facebook owner is actually liable for what their members had said on the Facebook page.
Then does that mean that the person or people who made the offensive comment, they're not liable?
In respect of election offence, the position is slightly different. There is one case where they say that the person who is being said to have committed election offence is not due to a comment by one of the on his blog by one of the visitors. The court, they said that he is not liable for it because he is simply not the author or publisher of the comments. The question is, the court's going to treat every offence, because we are looking at defamation, election offence, contempt, and let's say the Section 233 of the Communication Multimedia Act, are they going to take the position that they're going to treat every offence as the same offence, as the same position?
Okay, so I think we do have to go back to the start, as it were. And can you walk us through why the law was created in this manner?
Based on today's newspaper report, the Senior Federal Counsel has submitted that Section 14A of the Evidence Act applies. Section 14A provides that any person who facilitates the publication or republication of any content is the publisher of the content. So the argument would be, by allowing the comment section to appear, does it amount to the facilitation of the comments? Bear in mind of the purpose of Section 14A, when it was first introduced, it was said to for the purpose of facilitating the identity of the person who has published those contents, basically moving the burden of proof to show that this person has published it to the other side. The addition of the effect of the law is that they also make the person who has the owner of the website or any platform to be liable for the publication. The effect of Section 14A does not seem to correspond with the intent of Section 14A. Nevertheless, our courts have applied it quite widely. It is used more than just to assist in the identification of people who post comments. Law came about when the government found that it is very difficult to prove that someone has published those certain unsavory or offending comments. So when the law first came about, the civil society and even businesses and media owners protested against it, and there was one event which we call the Internet Blackout Day, where a lot of websites closed down for a day to protest against this law. The event was quite successful, so much so that the cabinet actually sat and discussed it again, and unfortunately they decided to retain the law. Najib, the then Prime Minister, also tweeted that of this result, that say that we are going to retain this law after much discussion.
And is there any way to put in place some safeguards for media portals?
The possible way for media to protect themselves is to disable comments. With this law, it is very difficult for them to ensure that they are not liable for what the user says. Well, they can moderate the comments, they can check and read, but this becomes a very difficult job, especially when it is, let's say, an online forum, which thousands of comments comes in the day, or even, let's say, it's Facebook page. You cannot moderate the comments. Basically, you cannot approve the comments. The comments will appear first, then only if you find that it is offending, you will delete it. So in a way, it is a law is actually has a very serious repercussion against freedom of speech.
And, you know, we've been talking so far about the platforms themselves, but how do the laws differ for other online spaces, you know, like Facebook or Twitter?
Law is applicable to all platforms. It's the same for Facebook and Twitter. But the only thing is Facebook and Twitter are not in Malaysia. So in a way that they are, it's very difficult to enforce the law against them. So the best possible way for government to do them is to engage these foreign platforms. Alternatively, if it's not a very popular platform, the government may just block the website from being accessible by anyone in Malaysia.
Looking ahead then, what options do Malaysia Kini have?
My view, what Malaysia Kini can do is a purely a legal argument, a question of whether they are liable for what the users or visitors say on the website. And the question is, argument is, whether did they really facilitate in the publication of those comments? Does the availability of commenting section on the website amounts to facilitation of publication of comments? The possible way is to challenge the constitutionality of Section 14A to make the law invalid and reverse the burden of proof back to the prosecutor or AG Chambers.
And as you've been saying, Cheng Leong, this is just the beginning of the legal process. So what might the worst and best case scenario be?
Case scenario would be Malaysia Kini and Stephen Gunn to be found to have committed contempt. Malaysia Kini would be fined and Stephen Gunn would be sent to jail or fined or to both. So the best scenario would be, to me, is that no contempt is found have been committed by them, and the federal court clarifies the application of Section 14A and the law on intermediary liabilities. I think my personal interest would be the development of the law on intermediary liabilities.
All right. I think that's something that we would look into. Cheng Leong, thank you so much for joining us today. You just heard Fong Cheng Leong, lawyer and co-chair of the Bar Council IP Committee, speaking to us about the recent move by the AG to initiate a contempt of court case against Malaysia Kini and its editor-in-chief, Stephen Gunn, for comments that were made under one of the articles of the news portal last week. And so that's the question that we've been asking today. Firstly, I suppose, you know, how do you feel about this in general? But also, more specifically, are you somebody who enjoys comment sections on websites? Because as Cheng Leong, I think, quite clearly stated, really, it's kind of a dangerous thing to have. And yet it's still something that we see some websites continuing to maintain. And it's something that I personally find very enriching. I know that sometimes the conversations there are not particularly fantastic, but broadly speaking, I think that they're important. You know, they give you a sense of where the conversation is going, how people are feeling, and importantly, also present alternative points of view. So for example, on Twitter, we have Amiral Helmi saying, comment sections are useful. They serve as immediate fact-checking or offer contrasting viewpoints. And similarly, Sue Ng says, Yes, I comment on online news article posts because that's what democracy demands of its citizenry, to engage in issues of public interest. The comments are also an outlet for citizen journalists. And the comment section also give insights from people of all walks of life. That's really important if we are to learn how to get along and understand our differences. But for example, one of our major English-speaking local dailies has a ridiculous dumbing-down response to its articles. Readers are expected to only respond with emojis. And yeah, Suing, I agree. I don't find that approach particularly useful. We now also have two comments that are sort of echoing similar points. Kamar Nizam says, comments are mostly fake anyway. Sometimes I feel that those comments are made by the same group of people. Most of the time, the heat, as you say, is generated by fake accounts. News portals might as well close their comment section or else please moderate it. And I do think that, yes, after a while, you start to get a sense that there are continuous comments that sound very similar to one another. But I think you can also tell when people have put a lot of thought into their comments, and those are the ones that I tend to focus on. But please keep those thoughts coming. Do you enjoy comments sections on websites? Is it something you engage with? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.